Go ahead and hold that with your finger and turn to Ephesians 4 also. I said tonight I was going to preach on who needs the church. And I've heard this preached a lot of different ways. And today, well, the past couple of days, I've just been thinking about some things. And some of it may be old news to you, but I hope it'll encourage you. Ephesians 4, 11 through 15. You know, the question comes up, what is the church? That's the first question. What is the church? Well, the church is the born-again believers in the body of Christ. Now, there is no invisible church. That's something people made up. That the Catholic Church made up universal invisible church. There's no such thing. There are local churches in the Bible. There's no invisible church. Invisible churches don't win souls. Invisible churches don't build buildings. Invisible churches don't build hospitals, finance missionaries. Invisible churches do not love sinners and go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And invisible churches certainly do not tithe and give offerings. There is no such thing as an invisible church. The Bible never mentions one. When it mentions church, it means the local assembly. The local called out assembly of believers. Now, whether it has Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, or whatever the strange name they're tacking on them now, it is a local assembly of believers when the Bible talks about church. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a local church. We don't belong to a denomination. We don't belong. People ask me, all these new people moving in, I'll invite them to church. I said, well, are you Southern Baptists? I said, we're in the South and we're Baptists. But we're not Southern Baptists. We don't belong to the Southern Baptist Convention. But if you ask me, am I Southern Baptist? Yeah, I'm in the South, and I'm a Baptist, you know. And by the way, I found out that the Baptists up north are usually stronger than the Baptists down south in their faith and their testimonies. I've been up there a lot of times. But when I'm talking about church, I'm talking about the local assembly. What this right here is the church, okay? I'm not talking about the church as a museum. A lot of churches are nothing more than a museum. Somebody good started them. Somebody good financed them. Somebody did great works there. And somehow, some way, it all fell to the wayside. And it has become a place of used-to-be's and has-beens and past history. And there's nothing going on there now. Nobody gets saved. Nobody gets baptized. Nobody's life has changed. Nobody's delivered. None of those things are happening. But there's a lot of things around with people's names on them, little plaques with people's names on them. This furniture came with this church, and it has plaques and stuff on it. Now, I'm not against those people. God bless them. They built this place. They financed this place. But I just don't like putting plaques on stuff with people's name on it, because He's supposed to be the one that we glorify and honor, not people. Thank God for people. Don't get me wrong. If your grandma or grandpa helped build this place and bought bricks, praise God. But that's not what we're talking about. When you do that, it becomes a museum. Yes. It's a historical place. I preached in a church one time. I candidated in church. The name of it was Catfish Creek Baptist Church. Down around, I don't know, Mullins or somewhere, lower South Carolina. It was built in the early 1800s. The cemetery was a historic site. The building was a historic site. And I showed up and I ruined the day. I'm not talking about a museum. Listen, I'm not talking about a place where you store people. This is not a place where we stack up people and store them. And no, this is the body of Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
This is a hospital.
Yes, sir.
A ministry. They used to call hospitals ministry. The word hospital comes from the Bible, telling us to have hospitality.
Right.
A deacon, that's one of his qualifications, that he have hospitality toward others. Hospitable, that's hard for a boy from South Carolina to get all the way out. Hospitable. That's where that word hospital comes from. It's free. To be hospitable to someone is to serve them and minister to them with no charge. And that's where the word hospital came from. In America, the first churches, the first hospitals were built by Christians. The first orphanages were built by Christians. The first old folks' homes were started by Christians. the orphanage, Christians. So when I'm talking about the church, the local body of believers, I'm talking about a place like a hospital where people are ministered to. You remember when hospitals, when I was a kid, hospitals were hard, blank places. Y'all remember that? There was no difference from going in a hospital or a jailhouse. Really. The walls were all painted. There were no pictures on the walls. There was no carpet. There was no nice furniture. It was hard, and the treatment was pretty tough. And they wouldn't even allow kids to go in. They had to sneak me and my brother Donnie up the back stairs to see my mama when she had cancer surgery one time. And they had to sneak us in because you couldn't go in under 12 years old back then. But that's not what hospital means. Hospital means we're a place where people are ministered to and they're loved and they're treated kindly and affectionately. Are y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
That should be the reputation of every church. We should be a hospital for saints and sinners alike. Y'all understand?
Yes.
Now that doesn't mean that we curb on the truth or trim away anything, but you can love people and still be right. You can minister to people and you still be healthy, see. So, tonight I want to talk to you about who needs that church. Who needs that church? Ephesians, well, Matthew 16 first. Let's go to Matthew 16. Jesus is talking, verse 13. He says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Now, they're talking about dead people. And so what they're doing is saying, some are saying that you're one of these resurrected from the dead because of his power. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Always make it personal. Don't ask people, who's Jesus or what does Jesus mean? Say, what does Jesus mean to you? Make it personal. He said, whom do ye say that I am? And Simon Peter, answered and said, thou art the Christ. That means the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, he was saying, God showed you that. God revealed that to you. Okay? Now that's us. God has revealed Christ to us. We didn't find him. He found us. We weren't even looking for him. He was looking for us. Amen. We were the sheep gone astray, not him. He was the shepherd hunting the sheep. Amen. And he found us. So, and then verse 18, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not on Peter, on the statement that he made, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Amen.
The church is a supernatural place.
Yes, sir.
People don't think of it like that anymore. The church of the living God, the assembly where those who have been born again by the grace of God, that God has revealed his Son unto them and saved them, brought them out of the body of the world and put them into his body, is a supernatural. Now that's a supernatural act in the first place. And the church is a supernatural assembly because he even tells us here that the gates of hell or anything else cannot stop the church. And he also goes on to say that whatever we bind on earth shall be bound on earth and in heaven and vice versa. And whatever we loose will be loosed. So that's a supernatural act to pray and God would do what we ask. Now, don't you think that's a supernatural thing?
Yeah.
I do, because I remember when I couldn't pray. Amen. So the church is not just a building where people get together and sing and dance and clap every week. The church is not just a place where people get together and an orator makes a speech every week. The church is not just a place where people just give their life story every week. The church is a living organism, and it's supernatural, created by God himself. Now, why would God do that? God could have saved me or you and took us right to heaven. He could. And there have been times we probably wish he had. But you see, he chose to put us together with other believers that we might represent, as he said, the kingdom of God on earth.
Amen.
It's more than just a place to say, well, we go down there and worship. And to most people nowadays, that means sing and clap. They think singing and clapping when they think worship. And I'm not against singing. I'm not against clapping. Just know how to keep time when you do it. And not calling any names, okay. Barney. But the church is a place to where we meet God in spirit and in truth. God meets with us. He said, wherever two or three of you gather together, he said, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in the midst, in the middle of you. And he said this. He didn't just say that. He said, I'll bless.
Amen.
I'll bless. So when we meet, we do worship him in spirit and truth through song, scripture reading, scripture expounding, preaching, we call it, and prayer, and God does work in us, through us, and around us.
Amen.
Amen. You got that? I want you to know what the church is before I get my real, this introduction. Most people nowadays do not know what a church is.
Come on, brother. Yeah.
It is not a social club. In a church, there should be no requirement of economical standing.
That's right.
Or racial division.
That's right.
Or what part of the country are you from?
Amen.
Every church ought to have all kinds of people in it. Now, there are churches that are exclusive. They only accept certain kinds of people. And don't sit there and act like you don't know that. I can take you to several in this town right now that they wouldn't want me in there any more than they want a toothache. They have a social something, and that all of them fit in. And here we got a bunch of wanderers and pilgrims and misfits. Because that's who he came to save.
So
he didn't come to start a club where everybody looks like you and sounds like you, though in some cases you might think that would be better. But that's not what he came for. Amen?
Amen.
All right, now that we got that settled. Who needs that church? Number one, Galatians chapter 6. Hurry, you ain't been listening fast enough. Galatians chapter 6. Holroyd can practice you till the very last minute. And if I go over 5 minutes, people start looking at their watch. Galatians chapter 6. I'm just teasing Holroyd. Don't get up my hoof down there, okay? Galatians chapter 6, because he won't say nothing. He'll just go blank on me. I can tell when he's mad at me. See, people can read my face. It's easy to read. My wife tells me that all the time. People know what you're thinking. But when I look at Holroyd, I ain't got a clue what that redneck's thinking. And that bothers me. I know what Jeffrey's thinking. I know what his wife's thinking. I look over here. Most of you, I know, I look back there and he's just... Am I telling the truth, Gargi? I'm telling. Well, you're his sister. You're supposed to know. Who needs the church? Galatians chapter 6. I've stalled long enough. Verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Why would you have to be meek when you restored somebody else? Well, look at the rest of the verse. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, let me get something straight right here. I'm an independent, fundamental, King James toting, Bible-believing Baptist.
Amen.
I don't like nickel-nipping, penny-pinching, soft-soaping, ear-ticking, back-scratching, panty-waist preachers at all. Don't like them. But I got news for you. We can be every jot and tittle right, but if we don't treat people right, we ain't right with God.
Amen. Come on, bro.
You can be right with God and treat people right.
Yeah.
Got quiet on me there. The people that need the church are imperfect people. Imperfect people. Imperfect people. Did I say it? Imperfect people. That's me and you and your mom and your brother and your daddy and your grandma and your grandpa and your great grandma. That's everybody that ever since Adam has been imperfect people.
Yeah.
There are no perfect people.
Right. Right.
And if you start making a little box of what perfect people are supposed to be like, you're going to get sadly disappointed because the only one who's going to fit in it is you.
Wow.
And we probably don't even like you. Imperfect people need the church.
Right.
Saved, we are. Arrived, we have not. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm as saved as I can ever be. I cannot be more saved.
Right. That's right.
I cannot be less saved. I'm saved from the guttermost to the uttermost, as I said this morning. But I have not arrived yet. I'm imperfect.
Yes.
And you are too.
Amen.
Amen.
We let people down.
Yes.
We disappoint people.
Yes.
We hurt people. We hurt ourselves and let ourselves down and disappoint ourselves. We are imperfect people. We were born of Adam. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so then death passed upon all men. For all have sinned. David said, in iniquity did my mother conceive me. I was born a sinner. You never had to teach me how to do wrong. That come natural. You had to teach me how to do right. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And you're the same way. The church is for. The church is here. The church stays because there's some people in York County that are imperfect people. We don't want perfect people. You know why? They'll mess us up. Who said that? No, we don't want them because there's none that exist, and if they think they are, they're liars.
Right.
No perfect people. There's not a perfect pastor. There's not a perfect deacon. There's not a perfect Sunday school teacher. There's not a, Lord knows we know there's not a perfect choir director. He laughed that time. No perfect piano player. There's no perfect church member. We're imperfect people. And saved but not arrived. I'm not arrived. I'm still working on it. I like that song. I wish one of y'all would sing it one day. I know it's a children's song, but he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Amen. We are holy, but we are not yet whole.
Amen.
We won't be whole until 1 Corinthians 15 at the resurrection when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first, and then our body goes up to meet our soul and spirit in the air, and then we'll be perfect, or either we get caught up without dying, and this mortal will put on immortality, and this corruptible will put on incorruption, then we will be perfect, we will have arrived, and we will be whole once and for all, because the Bible says when we see him, we'll know him, because we will be like him.
Amen.
I ain't like him yet, I'm trying. Who needs the church? Saved people, but haven't arrived. Holy, but not whole. How about healed, but not well?
Yes.
Come on now.
How about healed, but we're still not well? Did you know that worry about coronavirus. God bless you. Listen, did you know every one of us is one germ from dead?
Yeah.
One germ. Every one of us is one virus from dead. We're already sick people.
Right.
Sickness flows through our veins, every one of us.
That's right.
It's the curse of Adam.
Yes.
And in Adam, they all die, he said. And we all die sick.
Amen.
Unless you have an accident, and ain't no accident with God, unless you have a car wreck or somebody shoot you. Amen.
Amen.
Every one of you is sick. I'm sick.
Right.
Only thing he said that's right on. Listen. We need a doctor. We need a hospital. Yeah. It's just the grace of God we don't have cancer.
Yeah.
It's just the grace of God some of you don't have cirrhosis of the liver. Yeah. Say amen right there.
Yeah.
It's just the grace of God some of your mind wasn't blown a long time ago. Amen?
Yeah.
It's just the grace of God some guy hadn't already shot you in road rage. Amen? Because
yeah.
We know how you drive. Who needs church? Saved people need it. Holy people need it. Healed people need it. Did you know pure people need it?
Yes.
We are pure, but we're not perfect. We're pure. We're made pure by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
And when God sees us, he sees purity. Amen?
Yes, sir.
You say, but preacher, we got to live right to go to heaven. No, I'm not living right to get to heaven. I'm living right, I'm trying to live right because I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
I want to be pure. And when I'm not, it disappoints me. And by the way, it didn't disappoint God. He already knew it for Abraham. You know, you can't disappoint God. People say, I let God down. You can't let God down. God knew what you was going to do and what you was going to be before the foundation of the world. He didn't just wake up that day and say, I didn't know that bird just named Billy would do that. He knew that. He knew that already. So who needs the church? Listen, imperfect people need the church. Though we are saved, though we are holy, though we are healed, though we are pure, we need the church. And I hear people saying all the time since this COVID lies went around, now they're always saying, well, we don't even have to come to church. We can watch it on this, or we can just have church at the house. I've got news for you. God didn't call out a body to stay at home.
Amen.
And the world needs to see the congregated body of Christ together agreeing and worshiping a risen Savior. That thing in Washington on Wednesday was a testimony to a heathen nation and a perverted generation.
Yes.
Amen.
And people needed to see that.
Yes.
What if all those people said, well, I could just do that on Facebook?
Yes.
No, you can't. Who needs the church? I need the church.
Amen.
Amen.
Christians need the church. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes. I know that'll take you a minute to get there, so I'm going to try to think of an old joke I can tell you. Ecclesiastes chapter 6. I didn't hear that, whatever it was. I'm really glad. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I'm glad we don't have none of those uptown church members here. It would embarrass me to death. 4:9-10. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Who needs the church? Broken people need the church.
Amen.
Broken people need the church. Amen.
Yeah.
He said two better than one. Because if one falls, the other one can lift him up.
Yes.
And he said, it's a pitiful man or woman. Woe to him that has nobody to lift him up when he falls. Listen, broken people need church. People with broken lives. You know, nobody, listen to this, now listen. Nobody was born and turned, let's say 5 years old and said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to become a drug addict.
Right.
Nobody was born and said, I'm just going to bust up my marriage and die a drunkard. No. Nobody does that. Everybody starts off wanting to do right. Everybody starts off in the right direction. Everybody wants somebody to love. Everybody wants somebody to hold on to. Everybody wants to succeed in life. But everybody has opportunities to fall, and we all do it. And the church is supposed to be here to lift us up when we fall.
Amen.
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 But you don't know what he did. Don't matter. It doesn't matter what he did. The church is supposed to be here that when they walk in that door, Glory to God. Good to see you. Praise God. I'm glad to see you back in church. And they say, well, I'm ashamed of what I did. I don't know what you're talking about. People come to me and they'll say, preacher, I'm sorry I did this. I'm sorry I did that. I said, you don't have to ask me to be sorry. I've already decided that I would forgive you before you ever said sorry. Now, the church, broken people need the church because two, he said, is better than one.
Yes.
Because if one falls, the other one can lift you up.
Yes.
The other one can lift you up. Let's turn this thing on so I can move around. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Ryan, I ain't gonna mess with you. You're looking kind of tired, but can I get Ed?
Yeah.
Ed. I go by to see Ed. His wife called me and said, Brother Ron, you need to come see Ed. He done fell off the wagon. Is that thing working? Do y'all know what the wagon is? I bet most of you don't know what the wagon is.
I fell off a
Let me go get him, okay? Fell off the wagon in the 1920s when they had Prohibition. Before that, they had beer wagons, would go all over town, deliver beer. But then when they made against law, they delivered water. So men, when they quit drinking, they would say, I'm on the water wagon. And when they would backslide, they'd say, I fell off the wagon. Now that y'all know that little bit of history, it'll help you a little bit. You thought they meant they got drunk. Well, it did, but that's why they used the word wagon. But Brother Ed done fell off the wagon. Brother Ed, I just want to come tell you, man, I'm praying for you. I love you. Church loves you. Ain't nobody down there against you. We're all for you, brother. And we want to encourage you. We can't stop nothing. Only you can do that, you and God. But we want you to know we're there for you. They're for you.
Praise the Lord.
If you need us, and you come to church, and Ed would say, oh, what would they say if I said you need to come back to church? They would say,
oh, look at you. You fell off the wagon.
Man ain't never fell off the wagon. Let me find a drunk to talk to, okay? Amen. The church is not just for the saints. It's also for broken people, sinful people. And look, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And everybody's fallen off some type of wagon at some time. And we need a place where we can just say, boy, if I could just make it back down there, I'll be all right. I remember when I was young, I'd go out and get sick, drunk, just falling down, sick, throwing up, nasty, hateful. And boy, I think, if I can just make it back home, if I can just get home and get in my bed, I'll be all right. Amen. Y'all remember those feelings, don't you? I can tell about half of you been there. I knew if I could get to mama, mama would take care of me.
Yes.
You know what? That's what the church is.
Yes.
It's supposed to be a place to where you know, no matter how many times you've fallen, no matter how far you have fallen, you can always come back and say, I'm sorry. And they'll say, we already forgave you before you ever asked it. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. You see, the reason that a lot of people don't feel that way, and somebody falls and they say, I knew he was going to do it. I could tell by that skirt she wore Sunday. That's the way she was. Ain't that the way people talk?
Yep.
Amen. But what the elders say is, oh man, it breaks my heart to hear that. I don't want to talk about that no more. Let's go see him. Instead of using it for a gossip session, we'll use it for a rescue mission.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. But people are so, hey, here's the problem. You just ain't never fell far enough yet.
Yeah, come on, bro. Yeah.
If you fall far enough, long enough, and hard enough, you'll go looking for a church.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
That'll love you anyhow.
Yes.
Church is for people with broken lives, people with broken hearts. And let me tell you something, folks. Anybody that falls into sin ends up with a broken heart. Now you may sit there and be self-righteous and all this stuff and think you'd never do that and you and all. Well, we'll be here when you come.
Amen. Come on.
We'll be here when you wake up on the wrong side of the ditch.
Yes.
We'll be here when you've destroyed your family. We'll be here waiting on you. And we'll love you anyway.
Amen.
Church is for people with broken families and broken hearts and broken lives. That's what church is for. It's a little hospital, a little oasis right here in this desert called planet Earth.
Yes.
And let me tell you this too. Jesus said, how can you say you love God whom you've never seen and hate your neighbor who you see? You know, I preached for 10.5 years to a family that hated my guts and talked bad about me and gossiped about me and my family and hurt us real bad. And you know what? Every Sunday I wanted to see them get right with God. And not because I was mad at them, but because I felt sorry for them. They were miserable people. Anybody runs around gossiping, backbiting, and pointing out other people's sin is usually miserable.
Yeah.
And these were miserable people. For 10.5 years I preached to them, and they never changed. And then I left that church, went back up to Independent for a few years. They sent us down to start this church. And lo and behold, Brother Billy, who do I see walk in the door broken? Those people had no church anymore. I wasn't mean to them. I loved them. I treated them nice. But that's what they... Hey, look, if you're broken, if you've messed up and you've sinned... And your reputation's been tarnished and your testimony's been hurt. This ought to be the place where we can put that back together.
Thank you.
This ain't a place where we bury you. You ain't dead yet.
Yeah.
God can still use you. Did you know there's nothing that you can do as a child of God that God cannot use you again?
That's right.
Nothing.
Amen.
Now it may disqualify you to hold an office in the church, but it'll never disqualify you from being a servant of the living God and others.
Amen.
I said the church, who needs the church? Imperfect people need the church. Broken people need the church. Luke 19:10, you don't have to turn there. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Did you know that lost people still need the church? For some reason, churches no longer really look for or pay much attention to lost people. They're lost in this world. Brother Ed, they're wanderers like that pilgrim you sing about. They're wandering from bar to bar. They're wandering from person to person to find satisfaction.
Yeah.
They're wandering from pill to pill, shot to shot, smoke to smoke, drink to drink, relationship to relationship, and they're never satisfied. They're wandering.
Right.
That's why they're called lost.
Yes.
We were looking for something. We just didn't know what we were looking for. Lost people need the church. They're lost in this world. Did you know they're lost in their mind? I was lost in my mind. I wanted to know the truth. I wanted to know, was there a God in heaven? Was there something bigger than me? And I'd look up and see all that. And I wanted somebody to tell me what the truth was. And no church came to my house. My mama went to church every Sunday. Rode the van. The van driver never came in and talked to me and my little brother. Her Sunday school teacher never came. Her deacons never came. While I lived in her house before I was married, and I was still lost, I got married at 21. And listen, all those years, she had 5 different pastors, and not one of them stepped into her house to see if anybody else lived there. And I was lost in my mind. And church is for lost people wandering in their mind. What is the truth? Pilate was lost in his mind when Jesus said, I'm the truth. He said, well, what is the truth? He said, I'm the truth.
Amen.
They're lost in the spirit. Ephesians says they're dead in trespasses and sin.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. People are not saved and you look at them here's what you need to realize. As far as God's concerned, that person's already dead in hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
When he looks at Christians, according to Ephesians 1, ye who are seated in heavenly places, he said, in Christ Jesus. When he looks at believers, he sees people already seated in heaven.
Right.
And the only thing that is going to change that is people sent out from a local church to witness to lost people. Lost people need the church. When lost people come in here, not people right here say that I preach hard. That guy that called me the other day put me on the radio. He said, you're one of the old school guys and all that stuff. I said, I don't think of myself that way. But I looked at my picture and I looked at those old preachers and I said, yeah, I'm old too. And we ought to be against sin. And your pastor ought to preach right, what's right and what's wrong. If you get mad at him, that's your problem. He ought to preach what's right and what's wrong. And he ought to teach you to behave right, look right, talk right, walk right, work right, raise your family right. That's his job.
Amen.
You don't have to do what he says, but that's what he's supposed to be saying.
Amen.
But at the same time, we need to be compassionate. In Jude 21, I think it is, he said, having compassion on some, making a difference. Those people used to come to my house, and I'd sit there, a little old, scrawny, hippie-looking, lost, redneck, and they talked to me about Jesus. I was imperfect, certainly. I was broken, certainly. I was lost. I was wandering lost. I'd ended up in hell like everybody knew. People asked me about Lancaster. They said, you grew up in Lancaster. You know so-and-so? I said, were they good people? Did they go to church? They'll say, yeah. I said, I don't know. I didn't know any good people in Lancaster. I say everybody I knew came under 3 L's. They're in jail, out on bail, already in hell. I didn't know any good people. I was lost. But it seemed like some church from somewhere would have asked me to come to church. After I got under the Holy Ghost conviction, after being married to this wonderful woman over here, and we went to Bully Fog Mary's church a couple of times, I got under conviction, people started coming from all kind of churches to my house over in Rocky Holmes. Every time I'd turn around, there was somebody from church at my front door. And I didn't run them off. I'd grunt, slide my beer behind the chair. But I was polite to them because I wanted to know the truth. Hey, I wanted to know what these people were talking about.
Amen. Yeah.
I didn't know there was a difference between Mormon and Baptist. I didn't know there was a difference between Jehovah's Witness and Presbyterian. I thought they were all the same. And I wanted to know what made these people different than me. I was lost in my own mind. Amen. And then last but not least, not only is church, people need the church, or imperfect people and broken people and lost people, but I've got news for you. Our nation needs the church.
Amen.
This nation needs Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-practicing, Jesus-loving, Jesus-proclaiming churches again.
Amen.
The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Yes.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I like President Trump because he's a man. I'm tired of these pussyfooting presidents apologizing for our nation. There ain't nothing wrong with our nation that a good old revival couldn't fix.
Amen.
I like him because he's a man. I believe he got saved after he became president. Matter of fact, I could show you where he got saved. I saw it on video. But the point about it is, this nation needs to get back in church. They need to get, now I know every church is not good and every church is not right, but let God fix that and get back in church. This nation needs the church. The church has influenced this nation and this nation has influenced the world because of God in the church. People leave out of church on Sunday and they go home and they say, I'm going to try to live like that. I'm going to try to talk like that. I'm going to try to be like that. I'm going to try to please Him. I'm going to try to love Him. I'm going to try to be a good witness. I'm going to try to be a good citizen. I'm going to try to be a good employee. Did I say good employee?
Yeah.
All right, write that one down. I'm going to try to be a good employee. I'm going to try to be a good father. I'm going to try to be a good mother. Do y'all get the point? And we go out of here thinking like that, and it changes our nation, and then we go, our enemies watch us, and they say there's something different about that bunch.
Yeah.
And then one of them says, this is the church. They got churches. They ain't tearing them down. They're building them.
Amen.
This nation needs the church.
Yes, it does.
Now, I'm not talking about the hypocrites that come on the microphone and say they pray for our nation while they're funding LGBT, BLT, and everything else.
Yeah.
This crowd, I'm not talking about that kind of church. I'm talking about real old-fashioned Bible-believing church.
Thank you, Lord.
Church is needed by everyone. You know why? All have sinned.
Yes.
All can be saved. And did you know we can even go farther than that? All can be sanctified and set apart for the service of God. That's who needs church. I can't make people go to church. God don't want you to go if you got to be made anyway. I go because I want to.
Amen.
When I got saved, it wasn't a few weeks. I went to see my pastor. I'd never known a preacher, and I went to see him. Here I was, 23, going on 24, and he sent me down his office. I said, "Preacher, I need to know something." He said, "What's that?" I said, "I need to know how to stop being me. I need to know how to stop being me." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "If there's anything such thing as failing Christ, I've done it already." He said, "I know you have." He said, "You did that the day you got saved, right? Probably before the day was over, you failed him." He said, "But you just don't understand it all yet." He said, "You know what you need?" I said, "What?" He said, "Church."
Yeah.
We were going on Sunday morning. I said, "What do you got at this church? What do y'all do?" We were basically visitors. We didn't join church that day. He said, "Well, we got Sunday school." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Well, we meet at 9:45 and we go to Sunday school classes and we learn the Bible. It's in graded groups, like, you know, first through third grade and then you get old, you got these other groups." I said, "Well, I have to start in the first grade." He said, "No." I said, "Well, I have to take a test." He said, "No." I said, "Well, what will I have to do?" He said, "Just sit there and listen." I said, "I can do that." I said, "What else you got?" He said, "Well, we got Sunday morning." I said, "Yeah, I'm doing that." He said, "Well, we got Sunday night." I said, "People go to church on Sunday night?" That's why all those cars was parked in the churchyards when I was a teenager where we got gas. Oh, that's what they were doing. They were going to church. He said, I said, "What are you doing Sunday night?" "Same thing. Preach, pray, sing." I said, "Good." He said, "We got training union." Any of y'all remember training union? That's where you were supposed to go on Sunday night early. It's like Sunday school, except they were supposed to be training you to be a teacher, like anybody could go. "So what else you got?" "Well, we got Wednesday night." I said, "What are you doing Wednesday night?" "That's prayer meeting night. We read a prayer list. We pray. We study the Bible." I said, "Amen. Let's do that." I said, "What else you got?" He said, "Sometimes we got revival." I said, "What's revival?" And he explained revival. And did you know ever since then, nobody's ever had to come to my church and ask me to go to church. I mean, my house and ask me to go to church. Nobody's ever had to call me and remind me to go to church. Did you know nobody's ever had to send me a card and say, "We missed you"? Never. Now, that's not that I've never missed church, but I've missed very little. And once I really figured it out and got into it, I want to go to church.
Amen.
And I don't have to be the preacher. I love to go to church where somebody else is preaching.
Amen.
I like to shout sometimes. I like to cry sometimes. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And this nation needs that again. It would turn our nation around.
Yes,
if we just get those that claim to love church back in church.
Amen.
And start ministering to those that don't know church. And rescue the perishing and care for the dying.
Amen.
And snatch them in pity from death in the grave. Our nation would turn back around. Now everybody needs church. I need it. You need it. We're all sinners.
Yes.
We're saved, but we still sin.
Yes.
Now, until you run me off, I'm going to be at church. And if you run me off here, I'll go to church somewhere else.
Amen.
You ain't going to believe this, but when me and my family go on vacation, we go to church.
Amen.
We don't take vacation from church. We go to church. Might not be that great, but we go. Sure ain't this. Now, who needs the church? Everybody needs the church. Let's make them feel like they need the church when they get here. When people leave here, here's how they ought to feel. I got to get back down there again. That helped me. I needed that. And they feel the power and the presence of God. Not just our love, but His love.
That's right.
People come here and they leave. They say, you got the friendliest church in town. I said, yeah, we do. Because God's friendly.
Amen. Yeah.
Jesus is friendly.
Yes.
That's well, you got loveliest people. Everybody wants to hug your neck. I said, well, God wants to hug your neck. Jesus wants to hug your neck. That's the way church is supposed to be. We're supposed to be a little bit of heaven on earth.
Amen.
Would you help me work on it and get these people back in here and find some old wicked sinners?
Yes, Lord.
Amen. I don't care if her skirt's too short or breeches are too baggy. I don't care. God will fix that.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, me and my wife, when I got saved, we had matching hairdos. They called it the shag. Monster blue jeans, monster bell bottoms, giant belts, patches on our breeches. Amen. Look, those people ain't no different than you were.
Yeah.
They just need somebody that cares enough.
Amen.
That's all. And then once God saves them, He'll put the church in them.
Yes.
Amen.
And slowly but surely, you'll see them changing. One more story. I know my time's up, but I'm going to tell it anyway.